In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is it?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello there, this is Adam Frazier, and you are listening to Skullface Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by a man who needs no hobbit tricks when he's on camera, David Allen.
Hello.
And the man-dragon who laid waste to the town of Dale and captured the Lonely Mountain with all of its treasure. I'm talking about Smaug. producer Tim Grant. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Today on the show, we'll discuss the first of three in Peter Jackson's epic prequel trilogy, The Hobbit. We'll also boot up the Geekomatic Telefax for all the latest news, and we're finally going to test out Tim's long-awaited coconut radio. But first, it's time for our
Skullface Selects,
also known as our Picks of the Week. David, your pick?
Mine is simple, and it is Die Hard, because it is the greatest Christmas movie ever made.
Okay, that's that's it.
Good
that's
pick. It.
Good job.
I like that.
My pick is Holy Motors, the 2012 French film written and directed by Léos Carax, starring Denis Levant as Monsieur Oscar, who over the course of a day travels by limousine around Paris to a series of nine appointments, transforming into new characters or incarnations at each stop. And this movie is a bit monster movie, film noir, romantic drama, musical, crime thriller, futuristic, sex fantasia. Holy Motors is all of these, and yet then again, none of these. It is a insane movie. And I think if it's playing in your area, you should see it.
That sounds wonderful.
Tim, your pick.
My pick is The Hobbit. And not the new Hobbit.
Oh, okay.
I was confused.
It's the 1977 Bass and Rankin animated classic featuring John Huston, Richard Boone, and Orson Bean. And before we got stranded on this godforsaken island, I grew up on Disney animated movies.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them. You know, I'm not going to lie. But this was the first animated movie that really opened, a world of animation for me beyond Disney movies. I love this movie. I watched it so many times when I was a kid, and it really made me love animation more than a Disney movie could really ever do, as great as they are. So. Yeah, I can't say enough about this movie. It's one of my favorites. If you haven't seen it, please go and find it. Great movie.
Awesome. Well, make sure to check those out. Now that our picks are out of the way, I guess we need to boot up the currently malfunctioning, I'll say, Geekomatic Telefax. Tim? Well, we've got some headlines here, David. Hit me.
Okay, we'll give this another shot. Gary Busey expected to play Darkseid?
What?
In Justin Lin's Justice League of America.
Wow. Sounds.
I am perplexed.
I am. You know, obviously this has been broken, but it's become quite entertaining just to see what this is spitting out.
Yeah, I'm looking here and it says Jurassic Park 7 breaks box office record after 2 years in theater with $1.2 trillion. That can't be right.
Oh, man. Okay, we've got another one here. Gary Marshall's reanimated corpse.
What?
Is the expected frontrunner for Best Director.
Tim, what the hell is going on here? This happened, the exact same thing happened last week. These are either complete bullshit or they are definitely from the future, and I'm not ready for that.
Why would we be receiving future headlines, though? I mean, bullshit to me seems a more reasonable explanation.
Martin? Are you all right?
I am fine. Thank you for your concern.
Martin, where have you been? How's your mother?
I have been everywhere. I mean, where? Everywhere. Regrettably, my mother's code has gone back to the source.
Oh, Martin. I'm really sorry.
It is okay. I apologize for the roof. I'll start cleaning it up immediately.
Wait, Martin, before you do that, do you know why we're receiving these headlines that sound like they're from the future?
What? Why would I? I don't know anything. Nothing at all. I haven't traveled to the future.
Well, wow, that was weird. Did he just say what I think he said?
I'm pretty sure he just told us he had never been to the future. Mm-hmm. Which definitely means he has been to the future, which should be impossible. But I mean, what do I know? I'm just a guy on an island.
Yeah. Jeez. I think we should just probably continue with the show, and I guess we'll figure out what's going on with Martin's whole Days of Future Past storyline later. Hopefully, this one isn't directed by Bryan Singer.
Oh God.
A while back, we asked a question on Facebook about what movie you're most looking forward to this holiday season. The result was overwhelming. You guys are super excited to see The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and Django Unchained. Which is really good, actually, because this week we're going to be talking about The Hobbit, and next week we'll be covering Django Unchained. But for now, finish your second breakfast, shave your feet, and grab your jammers. Because it's movie time!
Sixty years before The Fellowship of the Ring, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, concerns Bilbo Baggins, a young hobbit who goes on a grand adventure with the wizard Gandalf and a company of 13 dwarves, led by Thorin Oakenshield. Their goal is simple, reach the lonely mountain and reclaim a golden treasure from Smaug, a cruel and terrible dragon.
My dear Frodo. You asked me once if I had told you everything there was to know about my adventures. While I can honestly say I have told you the truth, I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
Far over the misty mountains cold.
All right, Bilbo, played by Martin Freeman, leaves his home in the Shire and journeys to the elven stronghold of Rivendell and through the goblin-infested Misty Mountains where he encounters Gollum, once again played by the amazing Andy Serkis, who, as you know, a tragic creature who possesses a golden ring of a mysterious nature that will change the hobbit's life forever. Jackson... in this film, makes extensive use of a lot of appendices and other supplementary materials that J.R.R. Tolkien originally wrote to expand the mythology of Middle-earth. So what you're getting here is The Hobbit and then some, right? Basically turning this 300-page children's book into a 9-hour discourse on Middle-earth history. And with that being said, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, is less the story of Bilbo Baggins and more of a prologue to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Martin Freeman's performance is fantastic as Bilbo, and his inclusion keeps the film as it should be, a more lighthearted affair in the midst of dark and dangerous times. I just wish he had more to do in this film. It seems like he's constantly taking a backseat to the additional content that Jackson has inserted into this story. From, you know, turning Thorin Oakenshield's character into very much this trilogy's Aragorn.
Yeah, very much so.
They give him a lot of backstory and build him up to to give him something to do, I guess. Really. Mm-hmm. The special effects in the movie, though, are amazing. I mean, from the wargs and orcs to great eagles and the Goblin King, you're never less than convinced of being part of Tolkien's land of fantasy. I'm just a little, I guess, withdrawn from getting super excited about this movie, being as we still have 6 hours left of the journey spread out over the next 2 years. But I'm sure when it's all said and done, Jackson will have this incredible Middle-earth saga of 6 films. But until then, I proceed as Bilbo would, with caution.
Well, I personally, I've been waiting for this movie for a really, really, really long time.
Like 2 years.
So when I was a kid 2 years ago, The Hobbit was actually one of the very few books that I read and actually enjoyed. And just like Tim had mentioned in the, earlier in the show, I remember watching the animated film of The Hobbit from 77 over and over and over again. And very similarly, it kind of introduced me to animated films outside of Disney. Suffice to say, I had a very like clear version of how this film should look in my head, even more so than Fellowship, or than the Lord of the Rings trilogy itself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Jackson's interpretation and mine are going to differ, but that doesn't mean that I was going to be disappointed. In fact, I was pretty blown away by the visuals of this movie, even when compared to the pretty incredible standards set by the Lord of the Rings trilogy. First off, Hobbit was shot in 48 frames per second.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the first major motion picture to be shot and then displayed at this speed.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, just with the logos of the, you know, the production companies, this movie looks and feels different. It is crisper. The detail of movement and the clarity of scene is just pretty staggering, actually. Where this frame rate looks best, though, is when we are presented with any of the special effects. Gollum, in combination with some updated motion capture stuff, he has never looked more real.
Yeah.
Facial gestures, I mean, were just, his expressions were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The wargs are enormous and fast. and then Jackson's miniature set of, like, for example, the Goblin's Lair, shot at this speed, trumps almost any digitally created setting I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a highlight for me personally, though, that doesn't have anything to do with the high frame rate. The scene where we meet Gollum before he discovers Bilbo, there's a shot where Bilbo is leaning against a rock on the right, or on the left, rather. He's in the foreground, and then in the background, we see this rock jutting out of the water. At the tip, Gollum is killing a goblin with a rock, and he's pretty much in darkness, aside from some light further back. But he occasionally turns and we see his eyes, his irises. Mm. And this was precisely how I imagined the scene to look since I was a kid. And it was a pretty cool moment for me. Adam talked about the story a bit, and I agree with just about everything he said. The first film is clearly a prologue to The Lord of the Rings. And just based on how this film ended, though, I'd say that the following two films will be far more focused on the story of The Hobbit. In some ways, this is kind of not a movie. In other ways, it's as entertaining a movie as you'll see in theaters this year. But basically what I mean by that is that it feels like a sort of history.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like History Channel pieces where like they talk about, you know, some great battle in
right.
like English history.
Yeah, the beginning of the movie is, well, not the very beginning, but there is a moment where we are shown the great war of the orcs and dwarves,
mm-hmm.
Which is not in The Hobbit. But it's all narrated by Bilbo, and it definitely does have that feel to it.
Right.
It's like History Channel recounting this epic battle.
Yeah, I mean, because you're seeing the images, you're seeing it happen. And I think that one in particular is narrated by one of the dwarves.
Yeah.
But which then in itself, though, the whole story is narrated by Bilbo.
Yeah.
So it is kind of bizarre. But it didn't really take away from it for me.
Yeah.
Because that first, they leave that kind of storytelling in the first half. And then the second half, it just, as soon as they leave Rivendell, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
But the movie's 170 minutes. So
yeah.
By the time they leave Rivendell, really? There's, 40 minutes left?
I don't know.
I mean,
but you
it's
know
a
what?
Long no, movie.
It's so, those that last half, I mean, you know, half, like plot-wise,
yeah.
is so loaded. And yeah. it makes it so, it's just so fast and so great. And yeah. You basically, any complaints you may have had in the beginning are gone. I mean, because it's pretty incredible from then on out.
Yeah. So we've talked about on the show before, dare I say, complained about the length of this trilogy. How are you going to make 9 hours out of a book that is, what, 120 pages long?
Right.
300 pages.
300 pages? Depending on the version. Okay, all right.
Depending on the
version. Depending on the version.
Well, but Lord of the Rings trilogy was how many pages? I mean, we're talking thousands.
65,376.
I mean, what we're talking about is, with Lord of the Rings, you had three books, three films.
Three pretty long novels.
Right.
And here you have a much shorter book being cut up into three movies.
Right.
I think that's the disconnect.
So it seems like Jackson's challenge with Lord of the Rings was to condense all of this information down into three films.
Because
they were extremely long films.
And that is the sort of irony of this, is that in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they cut a great deal of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of stuff that's cut out of Return of the King. There's the sort of like infamous amongst Tolkien fans, like Tom Bombadil is cut out of, you know, Fellowship, and a few other scenes as well. Whereas in this one, it's really more about like how I imagine for them. I don't know. I mean, if they went into this with the purpose of filling out the Middle Earth history, they probably didn't have a hard time writing this.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think now if you were just doing The Hobbit, then yeah.
Yeah.
But I think their intention to bridge The Hobbit directly to Lord of the Rings and go into those appendices and stuff like that.
Right.
I saw where Peter Jackson said that there's an additional 20 to 25 minutes cut out of this movie.
Yeah.
So the extended edition of this first Hobbit movie will be like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
That's insane.
I mean, it's crazy.
So do you ever feel that it's spread too thin in any parts? I mean, do you feel that Jackson is reaching or scrounging for material at any point while watching this film?
You know, for me, in the very beginning, I was, I think, aware of the amount of time that was being spent on things.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sort of like increasing pace throughout the whole film. And I honestly stopped paying attention to time. Like, I really just kind of got immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if there's any issues with this film I would have, it's maybe just the sort of, like, the structure of the plot and where they fit in, you know, these kind of weird little backstories. But overall, it's still so entertaining.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, and, you know, some of the stuff that they're fitting in here, if you're familiar with The Hobbit as a novel, you know that several points during the book, Gandalf just kind of disappears. He goes off on his own. He leaves the story. In the film, they've referenced these appendices and stuff that actually explain where Gandalf was at this time, and they flesh that out. So the story never truly abandons anyone. Really, anyone that shows up gets their own story fleshed. Like Radagast, the other wizard, in the book, he only shows up for a minute. Or I don't even know if he's in it.
He's not.
He's mentioned.
He's referenced.
Yeah.
Radagast, I don't actually think, shows up in any book.
Huh.
Like physically.
Right. They just talk about
it. Silmarillion, but that's it. But he's referenced. That's it. He's the only one given a name.
And so they show him. He gets his own little sequence, his own little introduction.
Shows up. Yep.
Same with the dwarves and all these characters.
Yep.
And they bring in the subplot of Gandalf and the White Council, which is Saruman, played by Christopher Lee, Galadriel, Cate Blanchett, and Elrond, Hugo Weaving, from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They're meeting to discuss what to do with this necromancer character, who, again, is mentioned in The Hobbit, but is never directly involved with the story.
Right.
So they're showing us that to lead up to a definite battle in the third movie.
I'm going to be really curious to see what they do with that, because the necromancer is really more a part of, like, the pre-Hobbit history of all of this.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they're going to incorporate him.
Yeah.
So there is no seam here. I mean, this has been my fear, is I've heard that he's pulling from these appendices and different sources beyond just the book, The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
And Specifically with Gandalf, I heard that they were going to flesh out where did Gandalf go for these 35 pages or however yeah. much he disappeared in the book, 100 pages, whatever it is. I was just fearful that it was going to be awkward, and I don't know why tamper with that kind of thing.
It's chronologically it makes sense, and I think it's kind of, so I have this sort of, I'm sort of like split, because part of me thinks, all right, if you're going to make a film and it's a part of a greater whole, that film still needs to be able to stand on its own with its own act one and, you know, act one, two, and three, mm-hmm. even if of the greater whole, it's act one. Mm-hmm. And this film kind of cheats a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it ends up having an act one and kind of an act three, but there's not really an act two.
Right.
I know that at the same time, when you look at this movie, and I'm assuming because it was entertaining, and I do see what he's trying to do. In, you know, these six films may end up being pretty incredible to watch mm-hmm. all the way through.
Yeah,
and so you kind of have to think like, are we gonna, you know, should we judge this as its own film? Which I think to a degree you should.
Yeah,
and it does kind of fall short from a narrative standpoint. Really just structurally.
Yeah. Well,
that's not something an audience is thinking about at all.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way about Fellowship. I mean, it was hard for me to sit down in a theater and just right. watch Fellowship of the Ring and then have yeah. to wait for Two Towers and, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean. Yeah.
But there is a conclusion there. There is a crescendo at the end of Fellowship of the Rings.
Right.
You know, it sounds like you're just being impatient.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the story's not over. It's hard to, yeah. you know. And The Hobbit does end on a very clear, like, we have accomplished this much of the mission. Here's what we have to do next.
Right,
I mean,
right.
it is a very, it ends at a good spot. But,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you still have 6+ hours left. So it's hard to.
We don't even know how right. long the next 2 hours.
It could be 12 hours. I don't
know. Because Return of the King was the shortest book, and it was the longest movie.
Yeah.
So, question, and I should clarify, I have not seen this movie. I want to talk about 48 frames per second.
Okay.
What's the story there?
It looks like a video game.
Because we had proclaimed it would look like the Big Bang Theory.
Well, I believe we had said.
And no one knows what that means.
I believe
still.
We had said it would look that 60 frames per second would look like Big Bang Theory.
Okay, right.
So 48 frames per second looked more like 2.5 men.
I don't know what that means at all.
Your math is way off.
I'll tell you, it looks like a next generation console, like an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation
yeah.
3, a very high caliber game on those with cutscenes.
Like the
very
most extensively made cinematics
yeah.
you could ever see in a video.
So it
game.
Wasn't distracting. You guys you're
no.
fine with it.
I thought I was going in anticipating the possibility that it was going to be distracting or that, like, because I read somewhere that people said stuff didn't look real.
Yeah.
I thought it made everything look better.
I thought it was, it definitely takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
There at the beginning. But by the end of the film, I was really immersed in it and I was really enjoying the depth of detail. And,
yeah.
You know, especially seeing it and realizing that Peter Jackson was purposely framing and shooting things mm-hmm. with this in mind.
Mm.
There's right. a lot of scenes where characters go into the shadows or come out of the shadows. And in the standard 24 frames per second presentation, I won't say it feels flat, but, you know, I mean, you don't get to see the details on a person's face as they slowly go in and out of the darkness. Where I
right.
thought, like, what you were mentioning with Gollum's eyes and stuff like that, all that stuff became a lot more noticeable.
So, yeah, to the point that I would say you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't see it in the 48 frames.
Wow.
And it's not playing everywhere in 48 frames. So you'll
have to. No, it's not. You have to double check with your theater.
Consult the internet.
So,
but okay. I think it's an experiment. This is the first film to really do it. And I think you know, Peter Jackson, for better or for worse, has opened Pandora's box here because...
Yeah, this is how it's going to
be. This is going to be... Yeah, this is going to... Just like 3D is now slowly finding its way into the hands of auteurs who understand how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone is going to get a hold of this 48 frames and do something crazy with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's Avatar 2, if it's Star Wars Episode 7, if it's... the Duchess too. I mean, I would love to see Keira Knightley in a ball gown dress in 48 frames.
Now you're just being an
27
asshole.
Dresses times 48 frames. Think about that.
Okay. All right. Ratings.
Ratings, I will give mine first. My ratings are 13 dwarves, three rings for the elven kings under the sky, 7 for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone.
This is a lazy rating so far. I gotta say.
9 for the mortal men doomed to die.
I don't think it's gonna get any better.
Nope.
And 1 for the dark lord on his dark throne of lies. I improvised that last part. Did you like it?
No. Yeah, you lost us.
I'm basically trying to say that it was good. I liked it.
My rating.
Yeah. Plagiaristic asshole.
I went back to normal ratings, guys.
Okay, good. Thank you.
One pale-faced super orc.
Mm-hmm.
One poop-covered brown wizard.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
We'll keep going.
Radagast. He's got bird poop on his forehead.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
3 mountain giants that may or may not exist, and not a single broken dish.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
The glasses crack the plates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. So carefully, carefully with the plates. Blunt the knives and bend the forks. Smash the bottles, burn the corks. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. So carefully, carefully with
We're at the part of the show now where we need to take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the generators running and the restless natives at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. Help us avoid certain death and visit geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show. Oh, man, I have been waiting for this, and I know you have too, David.
Oh, man, like, so excited.
We are going to finally test out Tim's coconut radio that he's been working on for, I don't know, 10 years?
Guys.
Oh, Tim.
Tim.
In the middle, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, your review of The Hobbit was quite entertaining. In the middle of that, the tower fell to the ground and disintegrated.
Oh, no!
My God.
And it fell straight into the lava pit, which I thought I was far enough away from, but...
Motherfucker!
All my supplies destroyed.
And you had even said just a week ago, you know, maybe I shouldn't build it so close to that lava pit.
God damn it! What do we do now?
Well, luckily, I had a backup, just in case. Okay. I don't know, I got a funny feeling about the tower. It's been a long time coming. And so I think what we're going to do is we're going to...
Hey, you should have built 2 towers. That's a Hobbit Lord of the Rings reference.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you. Yeah. So what's the game that we're playing?
Well, it's backed by popular demand, actually.
Ooh.
Okay.
And that is a movie by any other name.
Oh.
The old synonym game.
I have bad memories of this game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I vanquished thee.
The rules are slightly different this time.
All right.
Mm. It's gonna be like the old name that tune style. Okay.
Okay.
So basically, we're gonna spin the Mystic Spinner. It's gonna pick David, and then David is gonna say.
Sure.
He's going to either. I'm going to read the synonym.
Yeah.
And he's going to either accept an answer or pass.
I see.
And a point will be awarded to whoever gets it right.
Okay.
All right. If you don't get it right, a point will be awarded to your opponent.
I see.
I'm digging it.
Okay.
All right. So what you're saying is I'm going to lose faster this time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I am ready.
Yep. Let me spin the Mystic Spinner. And it's David.
Oh, weird. Oh. It didn't even
wait.
What do
you know?
Did he even make a full revolution
straight
on that
to
one?
It. No.
No?
No. Okay.
All right, we're going to start off with this one. David. Ghetto pooch money bags. Do you accept or do you pass?
Ghetto pooch money bags. I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Slumdog Millionaire.
You got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Get up, bitch.
That is ridiculous.
All right. Adam.
Yes.
Trails of Honor. Do you accept the challenge or will you pass?
I will accept it.
Okay.
Path of Glory.
I'll say that again.
Paths of Glory.
Yes.
Ah, the old Kubrick.
You have done it. Good job. Good it's job. 1-1. The score is 1-1.
Thank you.
All right, David.
Hit me.
Maybe a little tougher here.
Oh, goodness.
Spice of a Ma'am.
Wait. Say that again.
Spice of a Ma'am.
Spice of a Ma'am?
Yep.
I'm going to pass. I have no idea what this is. I could think on it and probably get it, but I'm gonna see if I can get a point off Adam here.
All right, Adam.
Could you repeat it, please?
Yes, of course.
Use it in a sentence.
Spice of a Ma'am.
I will accept.
Well, of course. You have no choice.
Oh, I see.
You have to take
it.
Get it right and get a point, or you don't, and Dave wins the point.
Scent of a Woman.
You got it.
What? Yes.
Spice.
You know, spice has a smell.
Yeah, well,
old
sure.
Spice.
So do farts. You wouldn't say fart of a Ma'am.
I wouldn't have done that.
Tim's proper.
Yeah, that's a little bit juvenile, don't you think?
Now, whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
It is.
And can I get a score update?
You are leading 2-1.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, Adam.
Yes.
Comprehend and Conviction.
Comprehend and Conviction.
Do you accept the challenge or do you pass?
I have to pass it.
Shit. Comprehend and Conviction?
Now, I have faith in you, David, that you can get this one.
Comprehend and Conviction.
That's right.
I think I just figured out what it is.
There are a lot of different ways you can take these words, so this is why it's challenging, but I think you can get it. I think if you work it out.
Man. Oh, God. I feel like it's like right there. I feel like it's right at the edge of my brain.
As soon as I passed it, I figured out what it was.
Comprehend and Conviction. All I can think of is Pride and Prejudice, and like that.
Can I? I'm gonna get the point anyway.
Yes, that is correct.
But I believe it's Sense and Sensibility.
That is correct.
Huh.
Sense.
Thank you. The score is now
3-1.
3-1.
3-1. Thank you.
I believe you win in a point.
Oh, I see. And the next question is David's.
That is right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I'm just not very good at this.
Emancipate Mourn.
Emancipate Mourn?
Yes, Emancipate Mourn. Do you accept or do you pass it along?
Spell Mourn.
M-O-R-N.
So like mourning.
Yes.
Emancipate Mourn. Oh my God. Oh, God. I pass.
Pass.
For some reason, I'm just like not able to even comprehend any of these right now.
No, this is the hardest one, I would say. I would claim.
Can I hear it again?
Emancipate Mourn.
Sure. Sure.
You want to hear it again?
Nope. I am ready to answer.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Let's hear it.
Adam's very good at this.
Rescue Dawn.
Oh,
yeah.
And you have won the game decidedly.
Man, he is really good at this.
That is, yeah.
Well.
That is incredible. Very good job.
Thank you.
Adam, wow.
Sequel game, mine. Synonyms, yours.
Yeah, I sleep on a bed made of thesauruses. That might have something to do with it.
We're going to do a few bonus rounds here, just because, just for the hell of it.
Sure.
Just throw out these that, see if you guys can get them. the communal linkage.
Communal linkage? Yeah,
you can work together here. The game is over.
Communal linkage.
And David is doomed at the hand of T'Challa. Again.
Again.
And I don't want to talk about it.
You guys are striking up quite the friendship.
You know, we have actually started to get along with each other.
Well, yeah. Ron Perlman will do that to you.
The communal linkage. Yeah. What do you think?
The communal linkage.
Do you want the answer? This is bonus round. Supposed what to is, be for fun. You
what's
know?
The... What,
There's give no us, pressure here.
Is there a clue?
No, not really.
Fine, just give us the answer.
The answer is The Social Network.
Oh, that's a good one.
You should have just called that one Facebook.
Cruel Bitches.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, yep. I knew you'd get that one.
I thought it was going to be BAPS.
I thought it was going to be Best in Show, because it's like about dogs, but you went for the misogynist. This,
yeah, that was a little misogynistic. A little bit.
What? Huh?
Huh?
I didn't Next. Hear what you guys said.
Next, Tim.
Sunnyside Blueprint. What? Did you? No? I thought this one was too obvious.
Sunnyside Blueprint.
Yeah.
Sunnyside. Sunshine.
Maps. Plan.
The French Connection.
Plan, yeah.
Plan.
That's, yeah, that's in the right direction.
Plan.
Sunnyside Plan.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Critters.
I feel like now there's nothing riding on it. There's like no point in actually trying.
The answer is Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh.
Yeah.
A new film.
Yeah.
Just a few fun ones there.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Good job, Adam.
Thank
David,
you. Thank you. Another successful win under my belt. My rope belt made of vines. And other accoutrement from the vessels that have shipwrecked.
I'm just waiting. Tribal. I'm just going to see how. I just wanted to see how long this went. I'm just going to let you
it
keep
keeps going.
Going.
Describing your belt. Yeah. Keep describing.
It's an ornamental right. belt. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yeah,
it's bedazzled. It's got sequins. Pygmy skulls. That concludes another transmission from Skullface Island. On next week's episode, we'll be talking about Tarantino's Django Unchained, and we need your help. If you could go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Skullface Island or tweet us at Skullface Island and tell us what Tarantino's next movie should be. Give us a title and the genres that Tarantino should mash together. Let me give you an example. Just right off the top of my head. You ready? Pimps Don't Cry.
Oh, man.
Blaxploitation sci-fi mashup about pimps in space who set up a prostitution colony on the moon. That's all you got to do. It's real easy.
Is,
see that?
Is Eva Mendez in this
movie? You know she is. Oh, God. You know she is.
Thank God.
We'll announce the winner on Facebook and send them a special prize from the island.
Mm-hmm.
But until then... What should we do? You guys got some time on your hands? Should we?
It depends what you're going to ask us to do.
I didn't have anything in mind.
Oh, okay.
Where do you guys want to eat tonight?
I was thinking about the south side of the island.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think the natives just opened to Arby's.
Oh, man. Do they have the 5 for $5 deal going?
Yeah, but it's 5 shrunken heads.
Guys.
Oh.
I know exactly where we should eat.
Okay.
Leota's.
Leota's!
Get a tossed salad?